the good liars.
The good liars?
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, God. Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler.
And we're the Good Liars. For those of you who don't know who we are two comedians. We travel the country going to different political events. We talk to the people attending these events. And sometimes we even get up close and personal with politicians. And we may be the good liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. The truth about our experiences on the road, our interactions with some of the biggest names in politics, and also be talking to some special guests on here.
That's right. And after each and every podcast, we're going to have bonus episodes available on Hero Hero. That's herohero.co/thegoodliars.
That's right. We know this presidential primary is all wrapped up. It's going to be Trump versus Biden again. Everyone's just so excited about that. But today we're going to talk about our experience at the Iowa caucus. We have been to three of them over the years, and we've made some memories there.
Iowa, that's where the corn grows.
So DeVrom, it's the Iowa caucus. Some people might not even know what a caucus is. What is a caucus? I know what it is. I don't want to make it seem like I don't know what it is.
Right. You know all the information already. But for the listeners,
yeah.
Democrats and Republicans conduct their caucuses in two very different ways. Republicans select their candidates via secret ballot vote. Caucus goers will arrive and take care of some procedural measures like electing precinct chairs. The new chairs will then invite presidential candidates' supporters to address the room. After these speeches, the caucus goers vote and the results are submitted to the Iowa Republican Party.
I guess in 2020, we went to the Republican caucus that was still going on because Donald Trump wanted to like wipe the floor with everybody. And Donald Trump Jr. was speaking there, and it was in a high school. We were in like the high school, I don't know if it was cafeteria. It was like by the library.
You remember it was by the library because Don Jr. was in the library on the other side of a glass door, and you were trying to get him to sign a fake book.
I was trying to get him to sign the fake book, Daddy, Please Love Me. And in Don Jr.'s defense, he was willing to sign it.
He would have done it.
His staffer stopped him from grabbing the book.
Unfortunately, sometimes these security people are all hell-bent on doing their jobs.
Ruining our bits is what they do. It's annoying.
But back to the caucus. I mean, it's kind of a magical little thing, right, that happens here?
Yeah.
All the ordinary people, they come together, they hear each other speak. They write their names on little slips of paper, put them in grocery bags, and they participate in democracy. It feels like a very kind of small town thing from another time, but it affects things greatly. Like, people drop out if they don't do well here. And Iowa, of all places, just a very strange set of circumstances for the very first contest in the presidential race.
It's a very, very odd thing. We have a history at the Iowa caucus. We've been lucky enough to go to three Iowa caucuses.
Iowa cocci.
That's not true.
I don't think so.
Is that true?
Caucuses?
That's not true.
Should be true.
We've been lucky enough to attend the Iowa caucus three separate years.
That is correct.
Our first Iowa caucus was in 2016 when we were filming our movie Undecided. And the first campaign event that we went to at the Iowa caucus was for Rick Santorum.
After months of speculation, today Rick Santorum made it official.
Besides the presidency, the former U.S. senator will try to win back-to-back Iowa caucuses.
It was held at Central Iowa Impact Gun Range in Boone, Iowa, on a Saturday morning. And we didn't know what to expect from this. We were hoping we could get like a 10-second interaction with him or something for the movie.
Maybe, you know, he'll probably be pretty busy. He'll be speaking. A lot of people are going to be trying to get his time. Maybe we'll get a few words in.
It was actually the complete opposite of that. He walked in to the gun range and I shook his hand to say the thing that I was going to say to him in the movie.
Do you remember what it was?
I think it was something like, hey, you really remind me of my father or something like that. And I don't even think that made the movie, because that what had happened was we had heard that they were going to have to do like a gun safety before we would shoot. We had to watch a gun safety video. And when I introduced myself, he thought I was in charge. We were in charge or whatever.
Great. Where are we headed?
I think we gotta take a gun safety course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So having a concealed carry permit doesn't give you a waiver?
I don't think it does.
It should though, right?
And now we are basically sitting with Rick Santorum for 15 minutes. He is like our captive audience, and we're just talking with him this whole time.
Now two extra chairs are pulled up because it's Rick Santorum, his daughter, who was accompanying him on the,
yes,
the campaign stop. And then two extra chairs are pulled up, of course, for us so that we can watch a gun safety video together.
You guys have a lot of land to go shoot in?
We do have land, but you're not, the county I live in, you're not allowed to discharge a fire.
Oh, really? What? Really? Or you can't legally shoot people?
Whenever we're changing shooters,
you can't shoot anything.
I think this might be the first time I realized, like, we might get to fire these guns.
I'm trying to remember how it actually worked. He went in there, and then we went quickly and got a gun. Did we do that in that time in between, or did somebody else do that for us?
No, we fired the same gun he was firing, I think.
No.
Are you sure?
Positive. Because I remember going up there and being like, what are the littlest bullets?
Yeah.
I'd never fired a gun before.
I also remember getting those sick-ass glasses, those like tactical glasses. I think I still have somewhere. Pretty cool.
Because you stole them. You stole them. Let's just be honest. You stole the glasses.
Well, we're not admitting to any crimes here on the podcast. That is a rule. So anyway, we end up firing these guns with Rick Santorum. You called him dad at some point, startling him a little bit. You are then firing a gun right next to Rick Santorum. And at one point, I mean, I don't think you meant to do this necessarily, but you're not well practiced with a gun. You started to turn to say what a great time you were having, and Rick had to kind of stop your arm from rotating too much so as the gun would not be pointed at him. Pretty wild.
I'm gonna play the video and then we'll talk about it. I'll play the audio from this. This is our first interaction with a presidential candidate in Iowa. It's from our movie Undecided.
It's great. Okay. Let's shoot a gun. Let's do it.
Did you get us a lane?
Yeah.
I hope he hits it.
Yeah, he will. I'm not worried about that. Rick could do anything. Nice. That was the next shot. Nice shot, Dad.
You want to take a shot?
Yeah, I'd love to. Can you help me load this?
Sure.
Is it good to go?
Ready to go.
Just shoot?
We're all ready to go. I don't know if the safety's on or not. Ah!
That is awesome. I feel like I've got so much power right now. No one's going to mess with me when I got one. Oh.
Sit down. Good job.
I get it now. That makes sense.
A lot of fun.
That is fun.
You want to shoot this one?
I do. It was weird to shoot a gun near Rick Santorum because I've never shot one before and nobody asked who I was.
So that was our experience with Rick Santorum. I remember in the moment holding the gun, never fired one before. And I don't know what I was expecting because I'm not like a weak person. I'm not a weak person.
I mean, do strong people have to say they're not weak? I mean, just something to think about.
You know what? Maybe I am. I'm not saying emotionally. I'm not saying...
Okay.
Yeah. I'm very brittle emotionally.
Sure.
I'm saying I had never fired a gun before. And I'd always heard stories of like the kickback or whatever. But this one, it was just like so easy. You just like pulled the trigger and nothing moved. It was just like boom, boom, boom. It was actually kind of easy to shoot. Like we were hitting the target very easily.
Yeah.
But when I was shooting it, he was right next to me. I was like, I don't want this to end.
What if I drop
this experience? What if I drop it? What if, like, I don't want to hurt anybody. This is a little bit scary. So when I did turn around with him, I was like, this is kind of funny, but it still was not a great. It's not a great bit to put a gun backwards. It's not a good bit.
What are you talking about? Don't put your bit down. The whole maybe I'm going to shoot you bit.
That wasn't it. Don't put words in my mouth. That's not what I'm saying.
It was a wild day. As Jason said, this was the first day of filming on this movie. We think maybe we'll be lucky enough to get a little interaction. Before we know it, we're firing guns with Rick Santorum. And one of the great little surprises of that was that because you had called him dad and because we were sitting there next to his daughter, the couple of articles that were written about it, this was not a big event, unfortunately, for Rick, who had won the Iowa caucus 4 years prior. This was he did not have enough momentum to get a bunch of attention, but it was assumed that we were his sons. So when we were saying, oh, I've never shot a gun before, help me load this, the story was like Rick's Santorum's kind of like bizarre sons have apparently never fired guns before. And for a huge Second Amendment advocate like him, that's a very strange detail. Yeah.
I remember people like, I called him dad several times in there, and like the media, some of them were like, what the fuck is going on? Like they gave a, like they laughed at it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, the joke's up or whatever, whatever.
Right.
But it didn't stop them from writing the articles, I guess. But it was a very weird introduction to Iowa as a whole, because this was the first time he'd really interacted with anybody, was at a gun range with Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the only thing we did that day. Like we went from there to a Martin O'Malley event and then to another Rick Santorum event where I showed him the tattoo on my arm that I got, Santorum 2016.
That was that day?
It was the same day. It was hours apart. So Rick was not, he wasn't taking anything. He'd figured out, I think maybe like the fifth time I called him dad at the gun range.
That maybe
was
you weren't
that,
his yeah. son. He probably was, I don't think this is my son.
He was like, I don't know. Maybe I did something on my Bible trip or whatever. Maybe, I don't know.
You glossed over it a little bit. Jason got a tattoo, a fake tattoo, Santorum 2016, and showed it to Rick. Creeped him out a little bit.
He was like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay, man.
And then his little campaign surrogate guy, who was probably like a 20-something-year-old.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit.
Like, oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That was our first experience in Iowa. Fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That's fun. That's good old-fashioned fun.
I think the whole experience in 2016, I was like, I was so excited. Not only to be like filming a movie. I don't even think we knew it was going to be a movie at this point. At that point, we just knew we had this story and we were trying to do it. But it just felt fun to be part of the excitement of that.
Right.
And I do want to say that because I felt kind of the opposite in 2020. I know we're going to get to that in a little bit. It was fun. I would say it was the most fun one.
Yeah.
Just because you never forget your first. You never forget your first.
No. Whether it's sex or the Iowa caucus.
Sex. I didn't even think about sex.
You didn't even think about that.
I was thinking about like Iowa caucus, New Hampshire primary.
New Hampshire primary.
And then Super Tuesday, obviously.
Wow, you guys are such good liars.
So this next interaction we had was with Jeb Bush. And this was just 2 days after our Rick Santorum gun range bit. This is a scene from our movie. Our characters are actually seat fillers in this scene. And unfortunately for Jeb, it played out at his event.
Please welcome the next president of the United States, Jeb
Bush. Thank you, Governor. Thank you all for coming. I want to thank Governor Branstad for coming here. And while he won't endorse, like my mother who claims that I'm her favorite son, he volunteers for
wait, so who's this guy? Is he in charge?
The great work of getting out the people in the
that guy is
I thank you. There are a lot of virtues in life that really matter.
Yeah.
Honesty is better than not telling the truth.
Oh.
Tell that to Hillary Clinton.
He's the one, she said he's in charge.
Where's Dale?
Dale?
Yeah. I've grown to appreciate a lot more his gratitude. I am grateful for the help from people that are in
we just have been, really been here for a long time.
Been here for a really long time.
I know, but we
I'll just ask him.
You should just ask.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Excuse me.
We've been here for over 2 hours. We haven't gotten paid for our time.
We got the $50. Is Dale Herbert here? No, I'm serious. It's been 2.5 hours. No, we've been here for 2.5 hours. We're owed at least another $12.50.
We're out of the Bellhome Tower.
No, this is not a joke. We need to talk to Dale Herbert. Are you Dale Herbert? Are you Dale Herbert?
Shitbags.
A couple things about that. Number one, most important thing from this whole experience,
I want that Jeb Bush hat that the guy next to me was wearing. He had a Jeb Bush hat. It was white. It's stitched on Jeb! Exclamation point. I want that hat.
That's the most important thing. That's number one.
Number two, that's it. There is no number two. That's
okay. We've got to get our hands on that hat, everybody. So if you are listening out there and you've got a line on one of those hats.
Jeb! Exclamation point.
Love the exclamation point. It's like, don't say it low energy, please.
No, it's exciting.
Please say it with energy.
This guy is exciting.
Yeah.
We were not seat fillers. Our characters in the movie were seat fillers.
Right.
And they hadn't been paid. That's why they asked for it and drew attention to the fact there were seat fillers at the event. The very next day in New Hampshire, Jeb Bush had the famous line,
please clap.
It's going to break my heart just thinking about it.
It's a lot. It's too much. It was too much.
It was probably a tough couple days. I thought it was very funny for the movie, but I have had a couple people say, that was the one time I felt a little worse for the person than I did happy for you guys.
I guess it was just like he was such a beaten down shell of a man at that point that we were really, yeah. He'd already been destroyed. And we just kind of like kicked a little more sand on the grave or whatever it was at that point. It was it was not good. So that was Jeb Bush. We're going to get more into it. It's like if you feel bad for Jeb Bush now, I would say don't listen to our Good Liars Extra that we're going to do out in Hero Hero after this. We're going to be talking about, there's actually like a little bit more to this story, maybe a little more devious from the Good Liars.
Mm-hmm.
Something we did, probably wouldn't do again, but very funny.
There were a few additional steps that led us to that moment that we're going to talk about.
That was the climax of like...
That was the end. We're going to tell you how we got there. That's our That's our bonus episode. So stick around for that on herohero.co/thegoodliars. But if you felt bad for Jeb Bush, maybe skip that one.
Now let's fast forward to the 2020 Iowa caucus, which took place in the shadow of the first Donald Trump impeachment trial. Because there was two of them.
Mm-hmm.
With Donald Trump as the incumbent, the Democrats were taking center stage in Iowa. We filmed some memorable interactions with some of the candidates, including this one with Andrew Yang.
I asked a member of the Yang Gang because I have
this is in Gundy Center, Iowa. DeVron thought it was Grundy, which would be a funnier name and would fit somehow with the caucus a little bit if it was Grundy.
Mm-hmm.
But Gundy is what it's called. Gundy Center, Iowa. What a beautiful name for a town.
Yeah.
Thank you for the warm introduction. Thank you all for being here today. I'm running to address a challenge that we've been struggling with as a country for the last several years that we haven't fully understood.
And apparently, I'm kind of low on cash right now. Do you think I could get an advance on the universal basic income? There's like $2,000 or $3,000 you can just give me now.
Sure. So we have to make this happen for everyone.
Could you just give me the money in your wallet? A couple bucks right now? It would be great.
We gotta go, man. Thank you.
Okay.
We can go out this way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Asking Andrew Yang for money, he was all about the universal basic income, the UBI. And we thought it'd be funny to ask him for an advance on it. And Andrew Yang replied when we posted that prank on TikTok and said, I've got to get you that money someday.
Yeah.
So I guess he had a sense of humor about it. He did not at the time. That was 2020. And that was fun. I thought that was a kind of a fun interaction. And then the reaction afterwards was very weird. The people just so angry. Yang supporters were so angry online and like just like trolling our comments.
I know, you would think it would be a calm, reasonable bunch. Math.
Yeah.
It was all about math for them. You know, logic. What would it help to get so bent out of shape about a guy asking your candidate for a couple of bucks?
That was bizarre to me. Kind of like put a dark cloud on everything with that trip because it was just like lots and lots of anger directed at us.
And
go ahead.
Well, it's just kind of like we should probably expect that every once in a while, you know?
No, I don't. Interrupting people's speeches for our own amusement?
For our own amusement. Every once in a while, someone's going to be angry. I did not think it was coming from the Yang camp, but, you know, sometimes people are upset. It's like it's all kind of a weighing of things that we have to you know, run through our heads before we do each of these things. We also filmed pranks with Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld, Don Jr. But one of the one of our favorite pranks, I think we're going to play, right?
Favorite pranks of all time. That almost didn't happen. We had traveled a lot, and this was going to add an extra 3 hours to our travels, and we almost didn't do it. But by golly, am I glad we did, because it makes it still.
By golly, was it worth it?
It still makes me laugh.
I'm running because these corporations own the government. And let me give you some examples of how big it is.
Listen 1 second. Tom Steyer hit me with his car in the parking lot. He ran over me, and I'm injured, and I don't know what to do.
No.
He ran over me with his car, and I'm injured.
Has this ever happened to you? You might be entitled to a large cash sum. Call me the Fixer Lawyer. Visit www.thefixerlawyer.com. And you won't pay unless you collect, period. Ellipses. That sentence is not true.
Get him out of here.
It's still one of my favorites. Yeah. It's just funny because it's like, it's just the adding to it. And Tom Steyer, like, you couldn't have written a better reaction to him just being like, no, wait, that's not true.
That's not true. still letting you through the entire script.
The entire thing.
Maybe seat filler. I don't want to spread rumors, but just didn't feel like a Steyer fanatic came up and tried to sock you in the belly.
It was wild, man. We filmed
that was bizarre.
All these Trump events and stuff, and you know we've been in some hairy situations before.
Yeah,
but this guy getting up and like just trying to punch me.
Got up, walked over, and then tried to give you like a little gut punch. I think you would have been okay. He didn't wind up too much, but he did. He went for it. He did go for it.
Maybe the funniest moment of all of it was we do this. You interrupt. Your shirt's ripped off. You're saying you got hit by a car. I get up and give a lawyer commercial. This guy tries to punch me. And then me and his like campaign staff, who's like leading me out, like have a look with each other like, whoa, that guy. I don't know what was up with that guy.
That guy's got a screw loose.
It still tickles me.
Yeah.
I don't like saying that. You know, sometimes it's like we do stuff and I'm like, it's really, you think it's funny, but you don't want to say it's funny too much. This one I just think is funny.
Yeah.
And it's not, there's no like, he's a rich guy. I guess that's the joke.
It's not sad. It's just funny. And that's good. There, you don't have to, it's nice when you don't have to have mixed feelings about anything. Sometimes you do something and you think, you know, you think a lot about the people involved and, you know, was it funny enough that it was worth this or that? You have to weigh a lot of things. This is just good fun.
Although I almost got beat up pretty
bad. You almost got punched.
I mean, I think the guy would have, you know, he would have done more than just a gut punch.
I think he was just trying to give you a little, hey, howdy.
When I first got to Iowa, you were working a different job. And you had to fly in from some other state, Orlando or Columbus or something. And we got there and we were staying in an Airbnb again with our crew. And we went to Walmart to get our like supplies, our groceries for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And at Walmart, the guy behind us in line had a giant shopping cart filled with nothing but Mountain Dew. And I looked at him and I said, that's a lot of Mountain Dew.
You said what you saw.
I said what I saw. And it was really just like, I was shocked to see this much Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Okay.
He was like in his 20s, I think. So that's a lot of Mountain Dew. And he said, don't worry. I just went to the doctor and they said, I don't have diabetes.
Whoa. Congrats. That's quite the bar to set for yourself. Right?
It's a wild interaction.
If I don't have diabetes, I'm just doing everything right, and the Mountain Dew must be good for me.
The Mountain Dew is so much sugar and so much caffeine.
To the beautiful Iowa waltz. One more time with spirit. Iowa, Iowa, winter, spring, summer, or fall comes
But anyway, that brings us to very recent times, the 2024 Iowa caucus. And this was the coldest one by far.
Yes.
They're all cold because it's Iowa in January, but this was the coldest one by far.
We traveled to Iowa on Thursday, January 11th, 2 days after a winter storm dropped about 8 inches of snow on Des Moines. And this was the day before a blizzard was forecast to hit the entire state. So we spent Friday stuck in our Airbnb. The roads were closed, interstates were closed, and almost all of the campaign events in the state were canceled. So we were wondering, is everybody going to get back out and do this again on Saturday? Is this even going to happen?
Right.
Because it was, there was like, I think 8 inches, 12 more inches of snow fell.
Right.
But the freeze that happened after it was unlike anything I'd ever experienced in my life. The temperatures, I think, got down to negative 28 or 30, and the wind chills got down to negative 51 degrees.
We did this little experiment here where if you throw boiling water into the air in such cold temperatures like this, the rapid change basically causes it to vaporize immediately.
Yeah, you say we. I just want to say I was not. I was there.
In spirit.
I wasn't throwing the boiling water up. I mean, I came out and I watched it and it was cool.
Right.
And I'm glad that I saw it, but I didn't do it because the idea of throwing boiling water up in the air over yourself is stupid.
Well, you're saying this with the hindsight 2020 thing that you have going on. So yeah, it was a little stupid because I did it and I poured some boiling water down the back of my neck.
But that's not hindsight. Who that's could just have knowing.
Guessed? Who could have guessed?
That throwing boiling water in the air,
Jason,
is a bad
guessed?
Idea. That's just, it's objectively a stupid thing to do.
I don't know. I don't even know where to go with this.
So looking back on this now, you've got a little hindsight here. Would you do it again? Knowing you could get some boiling water on your neck.
Probably I would try and be a little more careful, but I would do it again. It was really cool. It like bursts into vapor. It's wild. I mean, I know you saw it.
Anyway, it was cold.
Yeah.
All that to say, it was cold. You know, I want to get into this in a way where you don't have to like toot your own horn very much, but I want to set up this DeSantis thing. You know, you have this interaction with DeSantis that got shared a lot, and we'll watch it in a second, but we should talk about Ron DeSantis, the man, how he got to the point where he went from like the golden boy of the Republican Party, almost the heir apparent to the participation award winning guy that he ended up being. What happened with this guy?
So basically he was kind of the strong man character of Florida, right? People knew of him. I'm sure most people heard of what he was doing down there in Florida. You know, this war on Disney, war on woke culture, banning books, fighting against COVID restrictions, basically in every possible way, kind of getting attention for doing these very, you call it conservative, but it almost feels different than the Reagan conservative party of the Republican
anti-woke
party of our youths. It's just this anti-woke, own the libs kind of thing. Fly, you know, migrants to other states to get headlines. And He was doing all of it. He was doing all of it. But you, I remember, were saying from the very start, this guy doesn't have it. He doesn't have it on a national level. People are going to see him speak at some point. Your average everyday American is going to have to see this guy talk. And boy, did it happen fast.
Yeah, it was funny because everyone was like, he's going to be the guy. And when I saw him, you know, if you look at history throughout this whole thing, when I saw him, I was like, that's Rick Perry and that's Jeb Bush kind of put together with a new kind of 2024 twist on it.
Yeah.
When he spoke, he had zero charisma.
Right.
He was saying things that really excited the base of like old, angry, white, racist Florida elderly people, or I guess I said old already. But the way he said it was never he was never captivating in any way. And I said that when he like was at, before he even announced he was running, I was like, if you've watched any of his interviews on Fox News, you know this guy does not have what it takes, and he's going to be terrible on a debate stage.
Yeah.
So I was not surprised by him getting destroyed by Donald Trump at all. I was surprised that everybody else was surprised by it.
Right. And I guess that's why I was surprised.
By me being right? You were surprised that I was right.
No, I was surprised that everyone else was so surprised, given that these people, they've seen him. I thought they must know something I didn't.
Right.
And they didn't. And he was just odd, and he was combative, and he was just generally kind of unlikable, and whenever the curveball was thrown his way, he didn't handle it well. And then he would do his really awkward smile thing whenever he would make a point where it was like he was an alien trying to smile like he'd seen, like he'd read about or something.
To emulate, yeah, humans, yeah.
And it was just like, this is really bad. And as you said, there was a brief period of time where it seemed like, oh, this is, people are ready to shift and this is the guy. And it just went up in flames very quickly. And he was out after the Iowa caucus. All this to say, Ron DeSantis competed for the presidency. And, you know, his image, everything he puts forth is, you know, that he's a winner, that he's this alpha male kind of guy. Let's get back to the, you know, masculinity of, you know, the non-woke culture. So we thought it would be funny. We thought it would be poignant and frankly, a little bit helpful for him to get something out of his big election effort.
Yeah, I don't understand why everyone says this is like a joke. It's not a joke. Like he should feel special. Like he running for president is a big deal. And he was polling cool. Okay for a little bit. So this isn't even a joke. It's it was a nice thing that DeVrom did.
But nothing's going to stop us.
Real quick, before we get started, thank you, everyone. Governor DeSantis, I want to present to you this participation trophy. Now, probably not going to win the election, right? But we're proud of you for trying. There you go.
Sorry, buddy.
He's special, he's unique, and he's our little snowflake. Thank you. Here you go. Do you want the award?
Nothing is going to stop us. I love that she set you up really great there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't say they don't do a good job setting you up, but she did a great job there.
No, it was perfect. Nothing's going to stop us, and then immediately stopped.
That was an interesting thing, DeVrom, and I want to talk about some of the mixed feelings with this. Because this happened. Video goes online. While we're still in Atlantic, Iowa, freezing cold, we've driven there. This is the first thing we filmed after the blizzard. So we're going down the highways being like, you'd feel the car kind of move with the wind and the ice and the snow. And we're still in Atlantic, Iowa afterwards, and we're seeing it start to get shared. And the people who are sharing it are like MAGA people who hate Ron DeSantis. And that was such a weird feeling, right?
It was. There were a couple of accounts that shared it, and people were like, yeah, go Trump. Look how DeSantis's wife steps in to help him. They were kind of trying to make him seem as bad as possible. They were celebrating this moment. That was not what we set out to do necessarily. Like you said, we were giving him a little gift. Help him out.
It was a gift. It was a nice thing. So thank you to DeVrom. I want to give you a participation trophy for participating in giving Governor Ron DeSantis a participation trophy. Here's your participation trophy, DeVrom, for participating in the prank of giving a participation trophy to Ron DeSantis. Great job. Really good.
I appreciate really that. Good. I'll take that trophy.
There you go.
I'm proud of my efforts.
Put it on your mantle. So that was our experience at the 2016 2020 and 2024 Iowa caucus.
He's a good liar.
So incredibly truthful.
Bullshit.
Oh. You lied to me.
Wow, you guys are such good liars.
Just a couple of honest abes working it the fuck out.
All right, so I guess I understand the Iowa caucus now, but let's have a moment of truth here, DeVrom. The Iowa caucus, we've been three times. Make it all make sense to me. What do we do about this thing? How do we feel about it?
These are truly wild events. In a lot of ways, the Iowa caucus doesn't make a ton of sense. All these politicians and media descend on this state that they otherwise would never, ever visit. All the politicians frantically crisscross Iowa to speak in diners, gymnasiums, pizza parlors, gun ranges, anywhere else they can shake a hand. There's something nice about it, the community of it all, these ordinary people coming together to take part in this important political process, but it's also completely backward. Why this state? Why these people? It's very flawed. It's strange. It's this inexact process that can make or break political campaigns. We kind of love it. We kind of hate it. But we can't seem to resist showing up.
Okay.
So I guess we'll see you in Iowa in 4 more years. Is that
God
what I just promised?
Damn it. You know, I don't know about that. America. All right, so that was our experience at the Iowa caucus. Please join us on Hero Hero for some bonus content each episode. You can go to herohero.co/thegoodliars for exclusive content. Proud of you guys. DeBron, before we go, any words of wisdom?
You are what you eat.
Okay, wow. That was brilliant. All right,
well,
thanks everybody for...
You
don't have to add something.
But the Mountain Dew guy, I'm just saying this is to him. Just think about it.
Oh, I see. Okay, I apologize.
Just think about it.
If Mountain Dew guy's listening,
yeah,
you are what you eat. And drink, we should say.
Eating and drinking are the same thing.
All right, thanks for joining us on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time.
America. What a place.
What a place.
Good Liars Tell the Truth is produced by Aaron Mason, with new episodes releasing every Tuesday. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to us at thegoodliarspodcast@gmail.com.